after yesterday's mea culpa from the Taoiseach. Fine Gael will be hoping that its recent troubles can be ended at this evening's parliamentary party meeting. To discuss, I am joined in studio by two seasoned watchers of government business, Irish Times political editor Stephen Collins and John Downing, political columnist and correspondent with the Irish Independent. Thank you very much indeed for coming in. John, the air is still thick, I should say, with claim and counterclaim and accusations. But are we any the wiser just from what we heard yesterday from Enda Kenny about the actual narrative? Did he give a proper narrative in the Dáil when he was being asked how this whole sequence of events unfolded with the appointment of John McNulty to the board of the Irish Museum for Modern Art and then subsequently his selection as Fine Gael candidate for the Seanad vacancy?
We still haven't a clear timeline on this, and we're left to glean that there were kind of two parallel processes happening here, that it was in a sense, well, whatever, there must be another word for serendipity, for unhappy coincidences, that it was an unhappy coincidence that Mr. McNulty was nominated to the board of IMA round about the same time as, surprise, surprise, the Taoiseach was going to nominate him for a Seanad by-election, which is effectively, was effectively an appointment to the Seanad. There are some difficulties still around that, one of which is he cites, Mr. McNulty cited membership of the IMA board as a qualification for the Education and Cultural panel of the Seanad.
Yes, and Stephen, he also made the point that Heather Humphreys made the appointments in her own right, these two vacancies that were filled in NAM, or at least the appointments that were put in place, in her own right and on her own analysis of the individual's qualification. But at no stage is it said they never talked about it, or they did talk about it, he and Heather Humphreys, or was there any communication either through intermediaries between the two of them, other than the fact that some Fine Gael officials brought information to her?
Yeah, we don't know. Yeah, certainly the Taoiseach didn't go into that level of detail. Heather Humphreys put out a statement saying that she had simply appointed Mr. McNulty. He'd applied to her and she'd put him on the board. Although, mind you, something odd, the board was reduced to 9. The board numbers were increased with the appointment of Mr. McNulty. And the Taoiseach then had ratified him for the Seanad by-election. That also is a bit of a mystery because, and this is where I think Mr. Kenny has problems in Fine Gael internally, the Fine Gael National Executive recommended two, possibly three women. They seem to have been simply pushed aside and Mr. McNulty was chosen to be the candidate. He'd been an unsuccessful candidate in the local elections, although he is liked. I was talking to Fine Gael people last night. He is well liked in the party. People do respect him and like him and they feel that he himself landed in an impossible position. But I think this is actually it's a cock-up rather than a conspiracy, but it's a cock-up which has very serious consequences because a lot of people in Fine Gael, it's the first time that Enda Kenny has really made a serious faux pas since the leadership heave back in 2010. There are a lot of people grumbling, complaining about him at different levels. There were meetings in the Dáil last night, groups of Fine Gael people. Somebody said there are actually 5 separate groups who have issues with Mr. Kenny. The first would be the people who opposed him, the John Deeseys, the people who opposed him the last time round. Then there are those who are disappointed they didn't get promotion in the reshuffle, or they saw constituency colleagues getting promoted. Then you've got people who are dropped. You've got a number of women who are very cross that the women, the merits of the women candidates were ignored. And lastly, there's a group called the Five-A-Side, who are the younger TDs.
And there are more than 5 of them. There are more than 5 of them, aren't there?
Now, they're not a very cohesive group, let me say. But you have all of these groups, they all have a grudge, they all have a chip on their shoulder.
Sorry, Stephen, to cut across you, they all have reason to be unhappy with Enda Kenny. But have you done a thought as to how many politicians they actually all add up to?
Well, they probably would add up to more than half the parliamentary party if they decided to vote against Enda Kenny. Now, that's the belief is that is highly unlikely because they'd be cutting their own throats, a lot of them as well. So it's one thing to have a grievance or to have a grumble. Doing something about it is another issue. But it wouldn't be outside the bounds of possibility that one or two of Mr. Kenny's serious enemies in the party might try, and there was talk, would somebody put down a motion of confidence in him? it would very unlikely to succeed, so it probably won't happen. But there's a parliamentary party meeting tonight. I think it will be a very critical meeting for him. I think this is the most critical parliamentary party meeting he will have faced since taking office. He needs to reassure his parliamentary party that he hasn't lost his touch, because that, I think, is the real problem. It's not so much this McNulty affair. I think most people in the party just think it's one of these political controversies, as Michael Noonan said, that are up from time to time, but it's got out of control. The government hasn't been able to get it back under control, and that is worrying people.
Where were Labour yesterday, John Downing?
Well, Labour are in the perennial place where the junior coalition party is, where they suffer on kind of three fronts for the cock-up caused by the bigger crowd, the other crowd. One of them, they spend a lot of time trying to explain or trying to dodge a lot of their own exposure time when they should be selling their own policies, their own achievements, maybe on education or whatever else. I noticed Jan O'Sullivan last week, the amount of time she spent speaking to this when she should have been talking about Labour and education policy. So they have perennially tried. They decided.
But they decided last week. When the Taoiseach was in there.
That's the difficulty, the optics of, you know, do you sit there sort of nodding your head, giving silent support to this, or do you absent yourself? And they chose to do that, which I suppose is another signal. The point is that Labour have decided this is not a battle to, this is not one, you pick your battles, this is not one that you go to the war, to the wall on,
in
coalition.
Is it possible, I'm wondering, that Joan Burton put it up to Enda Kenny yesterday, and this is pure conjecture, get this guy off the pitch, and that might have gone through the cabinet.
I don't think that happened.
Because it was as late as lunchtime when he was still canvassing.
It was as late as lunchtime. Labour people were very emphatic last night that it wasn't, that they, this wasn't the row, that John is right on this one, it's the bigger party's problem. They did not want to get sucked into it, that basically enough people in Fine Gael realised that there was something catastrophic had happened, and that Mr McNulty needed to be got off the pitch. I think when he announced his resignation, I think he was clearly, he had been in discussions with senior people in the party, or not his resignation, his decision that he didn't want to be elected. Of course, they could end up with the worst of all possible worlds if a number of Fine Gael, again I was talking to some Fine Gael people last night who hadn't voted and said, well, they weren't going to vote for the Fianna Fáil candidate, they certainly weren't going to vote for the Sinn Féin candidate, so the choice is either abstain or vote for Mr McNulty anyway. And he's on the ballot paper. The ballot papers have been issued. That would even compound the embarrassment, because I think his only option would be to resign if he did get elected.
Liam Toomey has already said this morning that he understands some Fine Gael Oireachtas members have already voted.
Well, they have.
I was speaking
to some of them last night who had voted before.
It'll be the most keenly observed Shannon by-election contest in the history of the Oireachtas. But going back to Enda Kenny, what he said yesterday, John, I am not happy about the situation as it evolved in the Fine Gael process, whatever he means by that, nor was I informed of that situation. And then he went on to say, for those reasons, I feel it is beneath the standards that I have set myself. It's beneath the trust placed in us by our supporters, and it is beyond the integrity of the way we fight elections. For that reason, I feel strongly that this seat should not be accepted in these circumstances. There's suggestions in this morning's analysis that he somehow is hanging out some of his Fine Gael officials.
In the Fine Gael process, what is he saying? Is he pointing the finger at down the street, down Mount Street at Fine Gael HQ? It's hard to read it any other way, and I would think that's quite unfair, because my guess and my understanding is that anything Fine Gael officials did, they were following instructions, they were prosecuting in the usual way. The Taoiseach has indicated he wants a particular result. They go and try to achieve that for him.
If he had taken the advice of the Fine Gael officials, we'd never have heard of McNulty in the first place. It would have been the shortlist that was put forward.
Well, that was the Fine Gael National Executive. The officials, I assume, is the paid officials in Mount Street, as John was saying, the party headquarters. I think there is a mystery around, and Fine Gael people are puzzled. Why was it that the National Executive suggestion just seemed to be dropped, put in the wastepaper bin, and somebody else was selected? We don't actually know what happened in that process. The implications from what Enda Kenny was saying yesterday was that somebody in headquarters made this decision, but he approved it. And of course, you also have to face the fact that someone like the Taoiseach is making 100 decisions a day. Yeah. He's on the run. He's doing an awful lot of things. I would say whatever attention he gave this, it was pretty small. He wasn't focused on it whatsoever. And I think this is one of the lessons really from this. I'm assuming that he'll come through this all right, but he's been working at a ferocious pace since he took office. He's been, even last week, he went off to the States on Tuesday, the UN General Assembly. There was a dinner with Obama. He went to Rhode Island to meet the governor to open a famine memorial. Flew back through the night to get to the ploughing championships for Thursday. So, I mean, he is... This exhausting schedule of his, I think he's going to have to look at that, because I don't think he can keep it up. I don't think anybody can keep that up, indefinitely. And to be fair to him, that exhausting schedule he performed very well. He in terms of international alliances in Europe and in the United States, that has paid a lot of dividends for the country.
He's always been somebody of incredible stamina, John, and we've all observed that over the years.
Extraordinary energy, and most people, you have to remind yourself that this man is 62 years old.
Now, one thing that I was asking the question, where was Labour yesterday, or where were they? One thing that they were doing, we had Brendan Howland out announcing that from now on, all public appointments will have to be filled, they'll have to be advertised,
Stable and Door.
Well, yeah. It is 20 years or more since the then Cabinet Minister in a coalition, Fine Gael Labour DL coalition, Michael Lowry, says we have to get away from these golden circles now, you know. So here we are, two decades later. But here's the question. If the government goes looking for a chairperson of CIE or of ESB, or there's a vacancy here in this organisation at the moment, though this is not going to kick in, I noticed, until the 1st of November. Do they seriously expect to find it through a public trawl? People will apply for a position that probably pays at most 15,000 or something like that a year, and then they'll get on a shortlist, and then they might be picked by the government. Is that how business is going to be done from now on?
Well, you see, it's not a simple issue, really, because if you simply do go on a public trawl, you'll have all sorts of vested interests. I'm sure there are loads of people in RT would like to take that position, even if it doesn't pay very much. They might be able to settle some scores. But I think in every organisation, I think this is the problem. If in every state organisation, you can't leave it to the people in the organisation or the so-called experts in an area. There have to be outside people. But I think the essential thing is that they apply in public. I think the government, where the government has really lost the plot on this one, is they promised a lot during the election campaign. They promised a new era of openness. They promised transparency. They promised things would change. And that, I think, is what has hung them out to dry rather than any individual appointments. So I think from now on, it's going to have to be in public, but ultimately the government will make the selection, and the government has.
Yeah, well, and here's the possible get out. It was on what the Taoiseach said towards the end of his remarks. He says it may well be that some persons may have to be asked specifically because of their particular credentials.
Yeah,
there's a bit of a gap there, isn't there?
There is. Well, and I suppose, you know,
you could say they're absolutely right to leave it there.
Well, I think it would be rather dangerous to go the other route and to have it just purely through the public appointment service. You could end up with God knows what of an outcome.
I wonder as well, and there's a story in the Mail today from Castlebar Bowling Alley to State Board, and it's billed as an exclusive and a picture of Enda Kenny with a young man called Dara Loftus, who has been appointed to the board of Solace. Now, you know, and it says as well that he landed a profile boosting job at a key state agency. Again, is it a job? There's no fees for this. He probably gets expenses if he has to come to Dublin for meetings. And it talks about his experience in an amusement centre in Castlebar, offering bowling, pool and snooker, among other things. But then further down, it turns out that the man has an MBA. Yeah. So, I mean, is there a level of hysteria about all of this now?
I think there is. I think most people who are appointed to state boards, exactly, they're not going to make money out of it. It's not, it might or mightn't enhance their careers. I think a lot of it is public service. So I think if we start rooting through every state board to find out, do members of, individual members know an individual politician? I mean, we'd be going around forever on it. I think the important thing is to make sure the system is changed for the future, to make sure that at least it is all out there in public. I think that is the important point.
I think
point.
Transparency in this matter would take us a long way if we knew how and why.
There may be the added advantage for politicians, a bit like getting away from the days when they could, you know, get phones given out to people or medical cards or whatever. Maybe they're still interested in that. But if people have to go through this process, well, then they're not going to be persecuted by people looking to get onto boards.
That's
another element to be considered.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. And I think transparency is the issue here, and getting the best quality people for the state boards, getting people who will give of their time. And that isn't always easy. And I think various ministers of different parties I've spoken to over the years have said that it's actually quite often the people they offer these positions to turn them down. They simply don't have the time. The money is so small. It doesn't really make economic sense for people.
Well, that's the question now that remains to be seen, or remains to be answered, or one of them, John, going back to the point, if you want to get somebody of serious expertise in business, let's say the chief, it happened before many years ago when they got Michael Smurfit and Fergie Quinn, when the old P&T was split up, one of them ran on Post, the other ran Telecom. You're not going to get guys like that to apply for a position like chair of this.
No, I don't believe so. And I think there is a need to bring people with a track record in business, generally speaking, to come into the semi-state sector and try and bring some market experience and qualities to those jobs.
Finally, Stephen, what does Enda Kenny have to do to just draw a line under this evening?
Well, I think he's got to convince his TDs and senators that he's aware how serious the whole issue is, but he's got to, I think, show them that he is going to pay far more attention in the future to the concerns of his own backbenchers. I think a lot of them feel frozen out. A lot of them complain about advisors, and this is where how the headquarters works. They feel that they are frozen out, and that a group of advisors around the Taoiseach have far more influence than they do. This is always a gripe of elected representatives. So I think he's got to relate to them. He's got to convince them that he is the man to lead them into the next election, because some of them are beginning to doubt now whether that is the case.
That's a very serious situation for a party leader in Taoiseach to find himself in, John.
Yeah, he is on a very dangerous corner, and it is the first time since June 2010 that he has been so much called into question. It's not going to be easy for him, because this is still a very messy process that could last another 10 days. Which, you know, it has been very damaging. Here we are, day 9, I think, of this. On one level, a very Mickey Mouse kind of a row, in a sense, but very damaging, surprisingly damaging.
Lots of texts on this and emails as well. Jim O'Neill texts in to say the government is treating us like uneducated fools and assume we still dance at the crossroads. Not that there's anything wrong with dancing at crossroads, one adds. Listening to them trying to scrape out of the big hole they have dug for themselves is like watching Fawlty Towers. It's painful to watch. The spin is so obvious. Another listener asks, how could these people conduct a banking inquiry if they can't tell the people the truth about the McNulty appointment scandal? Paul Kent in Dundrum says, if I was a member of Fine Gael, I would still, that's the parliamentary party, I would still vote for John McNulty. I wouldn't be surprised if John McNulty was elected anyway. And Donna Corcoran emailing to say, is the word you are seeking a goo-boo? And finally, Gary texts to say, the only person benefiting from this is Phil Hogan, who is avoiding any proper analysis of the documents released at the weekend. We leave it there for now. Stephen Collins, political editor of the Irish Times, John Downing, political correspondent of the Irish Independent, thank you for joining us. We'll be talking housing crisis, or what crisis, after the break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.